On this, the 11th of April, we're continuing with bonds. I wanted to say something to you today. Do the best you can. I know it's a bit of a pain, but it's not that hard, especially if you go look at, hint, hint, as it says in the assignment, some of the links on chapter 4 for the mutual funds, because those are some of the companies that have done that well over the long term. And how are we doing? Huh? Not bad. Apple and Caterpillar are still kicking our butts, but look at Procter & Gamble and McDonald's and Coca-Cola. Not bad. And the market is hitting new highs, and everybody, what I really love is, this is typical, when the market hits new highs, people just start talking about how horrible everything is. And then the market keeps going up, and it keeps going up, and people go, it's horrible. And then when they start talking about how wonderful everything is, then you know, okay. Then you know, alright, it's gonna go, whatever, you know, it was many years ago, Benjamin Graham said, when they're all optimistic, that's when you should be pessimistic, and when they're all pessimistic, that's when you should be optimistic. Or as Warren Buffett said it, be fearful when others are greedy, be greedy when others are fearful. So people are still fearful, so it's time to be greedy. We'll see. Well, no, we'll find out. Any questions, any thoughts? Now, one thing we didn't discuss, I apologize, on Tuesday when we were doing the review of the exam, was the essay. And most of you did a pretty darn good job. And you might have thought that these were very stark, black and white type situations, where the first person was in his late 50s, hasn't started yet, he realizes he's got to get on the ball, and he wants to put everything into aggressive, he wants to buy and sell. And this is not atypical, folks. This is the way people react to situations. And most of you told them, you know, sit back, relax, you know, not a good idea, it's a little bit too risky, and I appreciate it. And then I appreciate the, for both of them, some people said, he needs to take business 123. Thank you very much for those of you who gave that recommendation. And then, so what does he need to do? He needs to diversify, he needs some bonds. And he needs some high quality, not the aggressive, he needs defensive income, blue chip type stocks that are going to hold up when things go bad. Because if we have another 2008, after 5 years of him putting all that money in, and he's 50, 62 or 64, he's probably going to panic. Yeah, not good, not good. And then what about the young woman in her mid-20s? Money market? She gonna put everything in the money market because she's so fried? She's so afraid? She's so afraid? And most of you said, now wait a minute, you need to diversify, you can put some, and again, and what she really needs is education. She needs to take business 123. Thank you very much for this. So any questions on that? Any thoughts? Any ideas? Okay, good. So that was the essay. And be prepared, because now you are the experts, folks. I know you don't think of yourselves as the experts, but you know, believe it or not, you know a whole lot more than most of the investing public. You know a whole lot more and are better armed and are better ready to deal with not only the intellectual part of investing, but also the emotional part. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at stock and bonds. Oh, joke. Who's got a good joke? Anybody got a good joke? Nobody has a good joke? Did I tell you about the guy in the little red hot sports car, right?
Yeah.
I told you about him. Did I tell you about the hired assassin?
No.
No, see, I didn't tell you about the hired assassin. The CIA needed a cold-blooded killer. So they put an ad in the paper. They got lots of people who wanted to be a killer. So they whittled it down to four seasoned, cold-blooded killers. Three guys and a woman. And as a final test, they gave them each a gun and put them in front of a door and said, inside that room is your spouse. We want you to go in there and kill him. And the three guys, listen, I'm not going to kill my wife. I'm not going to kill my spouse. And the woman calmly took the gun, opened the door, went in and closed the door. And you heard, bang, 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 bang. And then you heard somebody screaming for help. And then silence. And she comes out and she's covered in blood. And she said, some idiot put planks in the gun. So I had to beat him to death. Okay, guys. Remember that, okay, guys? You think the women... No. Anyway. I think those are the best jokes. The battle of the sexes jokes. Was it scary? Okay. We're going to go from the least riskiest, as we did with stocks and bonds. As we did with stocks, we're going to do a bond. The least riskiest are treasury bonds. Government bonds, G bonds, T bonds. Remember, it's 2 to 10 years. Bonds greater than 10 years, but I'm going to use... bonds. But do not confuse T-bonds, T-notes, with treasury bills. Treasury bills are the short-term type corporate paper type things that we discussed in the, but they're from the treasury, in the beginning of the semester. They don't pay interest in the way that bonds and savings accounts pay interest. You buy them at a discount, and then they accrue up to the amount, and they're only for 4 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. And then a type of treasury bond that has become very popular, especially for people who are afraid of inflation. Everyone, not everyone, but many people are young and screaming and saying, inflation's coming, inflation's coming. It hasn't. It might. Are TIPS. And I asked you about, well, they were one of the things that the Treasury Direct got sold. And these things are kind of interesting. We'll take a look at them on a separate slide in a minute. And then these are not, this is something only the people, Anna will want to see that. She was not here. These agency bonds are not direct obligations of the United States Treasury. Ginny Mae's, Fannie Mae's, Freddie Mac. Many people thought Fannie Mae was a candy company, right? No. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae, they were all companies that were spun off, chartered by the U.S. Congress. They were private enterprises, folks. You could buy stocks and they were publicly traded companies. You could buy stock in Fannie Mae, and they did very well for decades. And what was the idea? The idea was to create more money available for home loans. And so what these companies did is they would purchase mortgages from credit unions, from banks. They'd purchase 1,000 of them. And then they would wrap them all up together into a huge bond issue and sell the bonds throughout the world, thereby creating more cash to do more home loans. And they were very successful. Too successful. The whole idea, and of course we're looking at it in hindsight, but in the 1990s, and then especially in the 2000s, home prices just kept going up. And that fueled more demand for more money for mortgages. And so Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Jenny Mae, and they weren't the only ones, but they were the big players in there. And so they were out there satisfying that demand, and everything looked great, and home prices are going to go to the moon, and everybody's going to get rich, and remember, Bush called it the ownership society, and Clinton was in on it too. So you can't blame either part. We have to blame both parties to blame us. And sure enough, we are now. And during all this time, there was an implicit guarantee, which means the United States government said, no. We are not going to bail out Freddie or Fannie. We're not going to bail them out. They are private institutions. But because they were chartered by the United States government, by the Congress originally, there was that implicit. You know what implicit means? Implied. Unspoken. That if anything did go wrong, the government would step in. And the politicians for decades said, no. We're never going to come in and bail out Fannie and Freddie until 2007 and 8, and housing prices plummeted, and people defaulted on their mortgages that these people never had a chance of ever paying. And guess what, dear students? You are now proud owners of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac by virtue of being a taxpayer, because they are now in receivership. And all the money that was given to the banks, that was lent to the banks, it's all been repaid. What about Fannie and Freddie? No. No, we're probably, when it's all over, the taxpayers are probably going to lose about $150 billion. Although some people say it's a lot more, and a lot of people think it's going to be less because housing is coming back. People aren't making their mortgages. Questions, thoughts? Treasuries are exempt from state income taxes. Why is that? Because the feds can't tax the states can't tax the feds. We will see that as a very big thing for municipal bonds in a few moments. Now, here you go. Here are the Treasury Inflation Index Obligations, or TIPS. A type of Treasury security that provides protection against inflation by adjusting investors' returns for the annual rate of inflation. They initially pay less than other Treasuries, their interest rates. In fact, they're paying almost nothing now. But here's the cool part. What we're going to find out is that bonds are normally denominated in $1,000 pieces. That's the word they often use. I don't like it, but that's what they use. Denominated, this is called the face value, the par value, also sometimes called the principal. And of course, when you buy, you don't buy one. I mean, you could, at the treasurydirect.gov, you could just buy one bond, but bond investors buy 30 of them, 100 of them. You buy it, you and I don't normally get involved in the bond market. So these things are paying very little interest every year. But the par value is adjusted upward each year to keep pace with inflation. So say inflation goes up 2%, which is what it's been doing, 1%, 2% since it was 3% for three decades, and then it fell to 0% in 2009 or 10. It basically ended for just 1 year. But it's been going about 2%. So that means you're going to get your interest, whatever it happens to be, less than 1%. But also, next year, your bond is now worth $1,020. You see what's going on? It's inflation adjusted. You got it? Normally, the bond is $1,000. It stays $1,000 until it's redeemed. But these TIPS are adjusted upward as inflation goes up. Plus, now you've got the interest rate, whatever it is, less than 1%, on $1,020. So not only is your value of your bond going up, your interest is going up by virtue of the fact that the principal's going up. Make sense? Now, what's the downside? The IRS says, oh, you made $20. You have to pay taxes on it. Now, was it really income? Did you get that $20 in your pocket? No, you didn't. It was something called phantom income. But you still have to pay income taxes on it. Are you with me? Understand? So some people don't like that. No problem. Put them inside a retirement account. Put them in an IRA. And you defer the taxes until you retire. So that's one way to get around that problem. Okay, let's continue. Now, mortgage-backed bonds. Let's talk a little bit about mortgage-backed bonds, because these are not only the agency bonds that we just discussed with Fannie and Freddie, but they're any debt issue, they're any bond that is backed by some kind of asset. Now, they're often called mortgage-backed bonds. Sometimes they're called asset-backed bonds, but the largest majority of them were the bonds that were backed by home mortgages. But it doesn't have to be just mortgages. As we'll see, you can do car loans, they could do credit cards, airplanes and other types of assets. So this is a debt issue secured by a pool of home mortgages issued primarily by the government-sponsored entities such as Fannie and Freddie. They go by many names, which gets tricky, huh? Pass-through securities, right, they pass through the mortgage and the interest payments that the homeowners are making every month to the investors. Participation certificates, collateralized mortgage obligations, collateralized debt obligations, don't you just love those names? Collateralized. You know what collateral is? something in return. Yeah, exactly. And monthly payments consist of the interest and the principal, and at their height, and they still are. Right now, it hasn't gone away. Every once in a while in the news, you'll hear about some politicians screaming and hollering, we have to change the system, we have to get people off of their addiction to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and nothing's changed. They're still the biggest home loan lenders right now. And as we said, they've been very successful, and they are now in receivership. Okay. So now, this whole process has a name. It's called securitization. And it's actually a useful tool in the financial world, folks. It's called securitization. And it got a serious black eye from 2008-2009, but it's not going to go away. Hopefully we'll learn how to tame this tiger so he doesn't bite our arm off. But you can do this with anything. Mortgage-backed bonds are just based on mortgages. But you can do them with car loans, credit card loans, patents, stocks and bonds. Even David Bowie. Now, you know who David Bowie is? Right? The glam rocker from the 70s, and he turned into a, I don't know what you call him, in the 80s, and then he became a movie star, and he did all kinds of good things. And in the 1980s, he said, hey, I'm David Bowie. Would you buy my bonds? I'll pay you interest and pay back the bonds. Now, by bond standards, it was a very, very small issue. I think it was, the number I remember is $55 million. That by bond issues, you know, Walmart, they borrow $2 billion, or Ford borrows $1 billion, or $800 million. So $55 million was very small, but it was backed by one man's career? Yeah, what if he would have died? There was probably some kind of insurance that if he had passed away. But, I mean, he's still making money from all the records that have been sold and the like. So they actually were pretty successful. The bonds were issued, they were all sold out, and every single one of them paid their interest and paid back the principal. Also, there was another group that, there was a few others, but I'm trying to think of the ones that I remember. You ever hear of REM? REM, stand in the place where you are, now face north. That's north. They did it too. And so, is that interesting, right? Now, could you or I pull that off? Could we say, hey, I'm making money for the next 30 years, I'll pay you? But no, I don't think so. I don't know, I couldn't, none about you. And they go by various names, collateralized bond obligations, structured investment vehicles. And hopefully, folks, we will learn how to deal with these. Because it's an important thing to be able to do, to raise money for causes. Now, let's discuss muni bonds. Municipal bond. Did we look at any bond issues on Tuesday? Did we look at an advertisement? We will today. Muni bonds are a whole world unto themselves. And why is that? Because these things are free of federal income tax. At least that's the way they've been for 200 and whatever years the country's been around. There is talk in Congress now, because we're going to do tax reform, immigration, all these things, all these reforms are going to happen. Obama doesn't have to get reelected, so he can make deals and make everybody upset. And so we'll see what happens. But the Constitution, they have to change something, they have to get the courts to agree, because the Constitution says that the feds can't tax the states, and the states can't tax the feds. But they've already been able to wiggle around this in one case right here. But think about it. If you were the federal government, and you could burden the states with your taxes, or if you're the states and you could burden the federal government, do you understand the problem you would have there? It would be okay, sure, we'll tax you guys, and you pay us. So muni bonds, states, counties, cities, school districts, bridge authorities, water districts, they can issue bonds. And every year, you're asked when you vote, not every year, but almost every year, you're asked to vote on some kind of bond proposition. Do you remember the bullet train a few years ago? Some of you voted? We voted to the state of California. We voted to raise $10 billion. And that's just the down payment, folks. The bullet train, if it ever gets built, is going to cost probably $100 and some billion. We voted to start the process of putting together a bullet train that will go from supposedly San Diego all the way up to San Francisco. We'll see if it ever happens. It's going to be very expensive. And the voters were asked to approve this thing. And we did. So the state of California has issued $10 billion worth of bonds to start the process of building the bullet train. Now, when people vote on these bond propositions for parks, schools, water, you know, emergency equipment, do you think they understand what they're doing? Do you think they understand that they're setting up the state or the city or the school district? Have you seen the Proposition R bonds? The signs around the campus, your tax dollars at work, Proposition R, thank you, South Bay. The South Bay voters voted in favor of Proposition R, which says we're rebuilding the stadium. I don't know what was wrong with the old one, but the new one, I don't know, we'll see. And the voters are now going to have to pay in terms of property taxes for the next 30 years to pay off these bonds. Capital gains on a bond. We talked about the interest rate. If there are any capital gains, they are not tax exempt. And some muni bonds are not tax exempt if you're subject to the alternative minimum tax. So this was the first little nose in the camel's nose in the tent, so to speak. That's the phrase I've heard. And maybe the Congress will be able to have a way for the muni bonds to be taxable. We'll see. Muni bonds are very popular with individual investors, especially high income. And let's take a look real quickly at one of the advertisements that I got out of the Useless Tribune. I'm sorry, Union Tribune. What's it called? Union Tribune. And here we go. Here's Poway. You've heard of Poway? I call it No Way. Poway. And here's this Capistrano. Now, the Capistrano, you know where that is, right up in Orange County. It's all L.A. It's, we San Diegans. As soon as you pass Camp Pendleton, right, it's all Los Angeles. People in front of mine say, wait a minute, it's only 50 miles. Okay, but here's the California Unified School District of Capistrano. So it's not the city of Capistrano, it's the school district. And these are special tax bonds. And the same thing is true for the city of Poway. Unified School District. They issued bonds. Now look at the minimum. What's the minimum? $25,000. Do you think these people who are selling these bonds even want to talk to the you and me? No, they're looking for well-heeled individuals. And what? I'm sorry? That's who usually their clients are. It's not the hoi polloi. It's not the working grunts, the little people who buy muni bonds. Because as we're going to find out, because of the tax advantage of these things, if you're in a high tax bracket, you're willing to pay more for these than somebody who's in a low tax bracket because it's worth more to you. So in general, unless you're very, very risk averse, you would wind up not buying muni bonds. Most of us individual little people wouldn't buy them. Yes?
So the last year is probably because they have to raise the money, right?
They have to raise the money for building out the school district or the water project.
They don't want to go around, you know, testing or killing people for money.
Well, if they came up with it,
they'd rather get like, I don't know, 100 people
that are very, very wealthy. It's easier. It's easier for them. But as we're going to see, there's a tax advantage that the wealthy have that we in the lower, I don't know how to say it nicely, you know, the peons. I mean, the little people. No, we in the little people, it just doesn't make sense for us. So we'll come back to that when we get to the actual calculations. All right. Types of muni bonds. General obligation bonds, GOs. General obligation bonds mean you're on the hook. What you're doing is you're giving the world notice that I am backing this by the full faith and credit and taxing power of the state of California or the city of Chula Vista or whatever municipality it happens to be. Those are generally more desirable because if something goes bad, they have to raise taxes. They have no choice. Unless it's really bad, then they go into bankruptcy and then we don't know what happens after that. The next group are called revenue bonds. These are not as generally, all other things being equal, they are not as desirable as general obligation. Why? Because they normally require payment of principal and interest only if sufficient revenue is generated by the issuer. So a water authority will say, we are issuing revenue bonds, which says, if the water system generates enough income to pay for you the interest and the principal, you'll get your money. Now, unless they make a monumental screw-up, and it's happened in the past, in fact, there's if you're so inclined, if you want a trivia, there was a bond issue by a group up in the up near where the whale exploded. Now, why would you call your group Whoops? That's what they call it. That's what it was called, folks. And they were called Whoops bonds. And anybody who bought them, Whoops, right? They were issued to build a nuclear reactor or a series of nuclear reactors up in the Northwest near Washington, Oregon. And it was a monumental failure. It just never happened. So if you, why would you name it Whoops? I can't believe it. And what? They're geniuses, right. And then there are special tax bonds, which may or may not be desirable depending upon where they are. These are the Proposition R bonds we just discussed. We went to the South Bay voters. I'm talking when I say meet we, I didn't do it, Southwestern Community College, and put a proposition on the ballot saying, hey, we need to fix up the campus. We were supposed to, it's a long story, we were supposed to build out the corner lot. Have you followed the news with the indictments? Yeah, Southwestern. My friends, I got one guy who used to teach here, he's now in South Dakota, and he every once in a while sends me an email, hey, Frank, I saw Southwestern was in the news again. You must have some kind of RS feed or something like that, because you hear about it on the news every once in a while here in San Diego, but we've had, I think it's 16 people indicted. Have you followed it?
No.
16 employees of Southwestern and Sweetwater School District have been indicted for soliciting and accepting bribes. What? It's stupid. It is absolutely stupid. If you're going to risk your reputation, jail time, are you going to ask for a $1,200? Yeah. What? Charge your tickets. Charge your tickets. Stupid. A $1,200 dinner at some steakhouse somewhere. No, I want $5 million at the very least. No, just $5 million. I want $5 million. $50 million preferable in a Swiss bank account.
But did they ever think that they probably getting considered that a bribe or...
Did we talk about this on Tuesday? One of the guy who worked for the company, he just thought, I thought this was the way we did business. He was new. He was brand new. And he just thought, I don't know, that's the way I thought we did business. So, anyway, that's what happened there. And normally these things are good until they're not. What? I think he should have come to Southwestern College and taken business law. That would have been helpful. And so what are the municipal bond tax advantages? How are we doing for time? Not great. I'm going too slow. I'm apologizing. They're free from federal income taxes. And what we need to do, and we'll learn about this in the next chapter, is calculate the taxable equivalent yield. If you buy the muni bonds in your municipality, in this case, California. If you're in California and you buy a California muni bond, doesn't matter where in California, it could be Eureka, Brawley, wherever, LA, then what's going to happen is the state of California will waive, not this waive, but they will forego, they will allow you not to pay income tax on the California interest. So any municipal bond you buy anywhere in the United States, Puerto Rico, Guam, you don't pay income tax at the federal level. If you buy a muni bond at the state level, the state of California, you also don't pay California income tax. Double tax-free. Now, the IRS doesn't like it when you use the term tax-free. Okay? They want you to use the term tax-exempt. It's true. And I think it's funny, too, but at the same time. Now, capital gains, if interest rates go down and bond prices go up and you sell your bond, those are not tax-exempt. The next group are the corporate bonds. Oops, wrong color. Corporate bonds. Corporate bonds have a pecking order, as well as other bonds, like the GOs and the revenue bonds. They go from the secured bonds, or sometimes called senior bonds, senior lien bonds, and they are backed by a claim on a specific property. Think of them like a mortgage. Real estate, airplanes, railroads, plants and equipment. And then they start from the senior to the junior. So it's a pecking order. The senior bonds will be paid off first, and then the junior bonds. And then the next group are the unsecured bonds. They are backed only by the full faith and credit of the corporation, so there's no asset behind there that the bondholders can grab and sell. They have to go after the corporation. And so they are junior or subordinate. Sometimes you hear the word subordinated to, they're subordinated. And I can't say, I've heard people say it debentures and debentures. I've heard people say it both ways, and I don't know which one it is. And I never say it. I always say it two different ways. And then the last one are the income bonds. The income bonds are like the revenue bonds. They, interest principal is paid if the venture that the bonds were purchased for or sold for is successful. Questions? So I keep going. Go ahead. Now, zeros. Zero coupon bonds. There are no Treasury zero coupon bonds. Well, there are, but they're not issued by the Treasury. Zero coupon bonds. Most bonds pay interest. The bond sells for $1,000. And then every year, twice a year, you get your interest payments. Well, zero coupon bonds are bonds with no coupons. Remember the coupon we talked about? Well, they don't pay interest. Huh? They are sold at a deep discount. Remember the Series EE bonds? A $1,000 bond that was going to mature in 20 years, if it were paying 6.25%, would cost you today $300. And then every year, as it gets closer and closer to the maturity date, the bond's value is going to accrue. You like that word? I don't know if you like it or not, but that's what they use. Accrue. Grow. It's going to rise in value. Are you with me? So this is great if you're not interested in income. This is great. You say, look, I'm going to buy this now for $300, and in 20 years, I'll get 6.25%. It'll be worth $1,000, and I cash it in. And that's the fifth. Just like the tips, as the value goes up, what does the IRS say? Dame. Right? The IRS says, oh, you earned money. Even though you didn't get any interest, the value is going up. Are you with me? You understand? And so they expect you to pay taxes on that. What a pain, right? You're paying taxes on phantom income. Well, there's ways to get around this. First of all, if you bought a municipal zero coupon bond, they're not taxable. So the IRS says, oh, it's a muni bond. We'll leave you alone. If you put it in a retirement account, do you pay taxes on that? Not until you retire. And if it's a Roth, you don't pay taxes ever. So there's ways to get around these. The world, I don't know why, but the world wanted the Treasury to come out with zero coupons. And the Treasury said, no, we're not going to do it. So back in the 80s, I don't know the whole story. You have to go look it up if you really are interested. I think it's cool because what they're called. I forget who, one of the big Wall Street firms went to the Treasury and said, hey, Treasury, do you mind if we separate the interest payments from the principal for your treasuries. We'll buy the treasury bills, and we'll do it. We'll take care of it. We'll strip off the interest payments, sell them separately to people who want income, and we'll then take the principal repayment that you're going to pay back in 10, 20, 30 years, and sell that separately. And the treasury said, oh, we don't care. They're your bonds. So this is what I like about them. They're called strip tees. Isn't that great? They strip off the interest payments, and you can buy the interest payments, in which case you'll get interest, but you won't get your principal back, because just get the interest over the next 20 years. Or you could buy the principal, just like a zero coupon bond, and you know pay whatever, $300, and then 20 years, get $1,000 back. And those are called strip tees. Is it? I mean, somebody. It's nice to have a little sense of humor on Wall Street. Isn't it? I think it's cute. I don't know. So you can maybe in the 80s, 1980s, they're still around. I see them. If you go on, just go anywhere. Where? Anybody have a favorite place to look? Well, you probably use Google, but there's a very good website called, I forget who bought it. I think either Fortune or Forbes, called Investopedia. If you have you tried it? Yeah. It's a pretty good website for looking. It's it's dedicated to business and investing. And often, if you use Google, it'll be the first or second or third hit that comes up using Google or another search engine. Now we've gone from the least riskiest to the riskiest, and now we're entering the world, and that's what it's called, junk. Now. That's not the polite term. The polite term is non-investment grade or high yield. But most people use the term junk. Issued primarily by corporations. Sometimes there's muni junk bonds, but it's mostly mostly corporations. They were reserved for bonds that were in distress, which is another word you hear. You hear distressed bonds. Non-investment grade, high yield, distressed, junk bonds. And what happened is that you just didn't touch these things unless you were very, very, risk grabber. You know, you were not a risk averse person. You were rolling the dice. Well, in the 1980s, junk bonds became an industry as corporations that were not large enough normally to issue bonds began to issue bonds with very high interest rates. And there was a huge scandal that went on where a lot of these things were being used as insider trading vehicles. So you might have heard of a firm, I can't remember it now, what was it called? Drexel Burnham Lambert. And a gentleman by the name of Michael Milken wound up doing 18 months, and he had to give back most of what he stole. But when he came out of jail, the industry buzz was that he was worth only about $500 million. So let me ask you a question. Would you risk 18 months of jail time for $500
million?
Yep. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Very high risk, but they often offer the opportunity for large capital gains as well as high income. It turns out that junk bonds tend to look more like stocks than they do bonds. Because when the stocks do well, it usually means the economy is doing well, and the companies that are in distress are all of a sudden now able to make their payments. And so we'll see, when we take a look at some examples of bonds, we'll see that the bond yields are high and then come down and the prices go up. So it can be a real profitable way. But it's riskier than normal bonds. And then foreign bonds. Foreign bonds are a whole world unto themselves. And it used to be that people just stayed away from them. Except for U.S. pay bonds. Now, these are not as popular as they used to be. But in the 1980s, when Latin America was in really bad trouble, Argentina and Mexico and some other countries, many of the countries were in deep trouble. So what they did is they needed cash. And they issued these bonds in dollars, dollar denominated. They're backed by the Argentine government or the Mexican government, but you, as a U.S. investor, were paying your money in dollars and getting your interest back in dollars. So U.S. investors were, hey, we'll do it. We'll buy those. They're not as popular as they used to be. There's no risk of currency fluctuations. You know what you're going to get, provided they don't default. You know you're going to get your money. Once you leave the realm of the dollar and move your money to yen or to euros or to pesos, now you have currency risk. And we've discussed currency risk. It's one of those seesaw situations. If the dollar goes up, what happens to our investments abroad? They go down. If the dollar goes down, what happens to our investments abroad? All the things being equal, and of course, they never are. So we have to pay attention to currency fluctuation risk.
So what is the positive? What is something good about foreign?
Well, right now, many of the countries, many of the countries outside the United States, even countries that are doing very well, are paying much higher interest rates than the United States is right now.
Oh, okay. For example, if I buy bonds from, let's see, England.
Mm-hmm.
So
the UK?
So if
the dollar goes down, what's going to happen to my bonds?
They're
going to be worth more.
So, okay, they're going to worth more, but do I'm going to get, when I'm changing, dollars, it's going to worth, the same? So.
No, you're going to get more. You're going to get more dollars because now pounds... A pound is worth more than what you bought. When you changed your dollars into pounds, it was worth $1.50. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, you had to pay $1.50 for each pound. But say the pound goes to $1.80. Now for every pound you have, and that hasn't changed, the bond is still worth what it was, assuming nothing else changes than it always is. But let's say the bond didn't change. You are now going to get $1.80 for every pound you have. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And some of you have experienced this when you go visit your friends in Mexico, and the peso goes to 15 to a dollar. All of a sudden, cool! I can buy more things, and all the Mexicans are crying and screaming at you because that means their prices go up for everything they buy from outside. But when the peso goes down to 10, now all of a sudden you have to bring more dollars, and they're happier. Make sense? Yeah, it's tricky. It's definitely tricky. And it's something that most people just don't do. What do? They buy a global bond mutual fund. Now, when you go to the bank and you ask for a loan, what do?
Pay your money.
What?
Give the money.
Before they hear the money, what do? They ask you to submit to a credit check. And so that's how they know that you're going to pay back the money. How do you know if a corporation, municipality, well, the federal government, I don't care what anybody says, the federal government is going to pay back its loans. How do you know that they are going to pay back their money? There are companies called rating agencies. Standard & Poor's is one of them. You've heard of the Standard & Poor's 500. Well, they're also doing this. Moody's, Fitch's, Weiss. There's a couple others, but those are the big ones. And the two largest are Standard & Poor's and Moody's. And they rate the bonds. And what I like to think of them as are idiot lights on your dashboard. Now, they're supposedly a whole lot better. But 20 years ago, when you saw the red light, and you're driving on the freeway, and you saw the red light for the oil, what are you supposed to do? No, oil. Don't put gas in the oil. Don't put it. What are you supposed to do when you see the oil light come on when you're driving? You pull over, right? Now, supposedly, the idiot lights are a whole lot better. But 20 years ago, when you saw the red light, just floor it. It's too late. The engine's already toast. You only got a couple more miles, and it's going to seize. So you might as well go as fast as you can. You try to get off the freeway. But now, my understanding, I'm not a motorhead, but my understanding is the idiot lights are a whole lot better. Anybody motor inclined?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they don't know what to do. What's that little red light mean? It's got a picture of an oil can. Okay. Well, see, my joy go faster, right? And so in the wake of the 2001 to 2002 corporate scandals, the rating agencies were completely off caught completely off guard. They didn't downgrade Enron and WorldCom until they were practically in default, until they were practically in bankruptcy. They finally said, oh, let's downgrade these guys. They screwed up again in 2008 and 9 when they were giving these mortgage-backed securities a AAA rating, even though many of these people had lied about how much money they were making and never were going to be able to make the payments in 2 or 3 years when the payments ballooned from 1,600 to 2,200 to 2,700 to 3,200. And yet they gave them AAA ratings. So they screwed up again. This time it was brought down the economy. So here are the ratings. AAA is the highest grade. And for decades, the United States was AAA. It's now not anymore. It's ridiculous. They're actually quadruple A. The United States is not going to go do... You watch Weasel News? Skunk News. What's it called? Fox News, right, Fox News. If you watch Fox News, you'll hear them talking about how the government's going to go bankrupt and everything, and no, that's not going to happen. Double A, triple B, double B, B, triple C, double C, C, and then D, no F. Now, I don't know about you, but what's the difference between double A and triple B? I mean, it reminds me of eggs. When you go in the store and you see double A eggs, double B eggs. What's the difference? They all taste the same. And anything that's triple B or above is investment grade. Are you with me? Anything below is non-investment grade. High yield, junk, distress. So what would you rather have, all things being equal, a B bond or a double A bond? Well, the B bond is going to pay you 7-8%. The double A bond is going to pay you 4.5%. Now which one do you want?
So that's the gamble.
That's the gamble, yeah. And once you're down here, it's considered, forget it. You're not even supposed to touch it. So we're going to take a look at some examples in just a bit here as we almost are finished. The rating agencies then further refine their ratings. It might be a double A plus. That's what the United States is right now. The United States is double A plus. And why is that? Why did they knock us down? Because of the political situation. Not because of an economic situation. The United States can pay its debts, folks. Don't let anybody tell you they can't. We can.
That's terrible.
No. It did the exact opposite. When they lowered it from AAA to AA plus, you would think people would dump their treasury bonds. They would say, I don't want to touch treasury bonds. They might not pay. Instead, they bought more. Because, oh, goodness, the world is ending. Where do I go? Flight to quality. Go to the most quality thing I know. Buy treasury bonds. And the price went up. Figure that one out. These people, the S&P, Moody's, they downgraded the United States. And the bonds went up in price. The rates went down. That's the world you're looking at, folks. Bond trading is very difficult for retail investors. We already saw the minimum purchase, right, for that one. They don't even want to talk to you. Now, there's an example. There's an exception. Remember TreasuryDirect.gov? Nod your heads yes. You and I can buy bonds at the same price as the people with the 25,000, the 25 million. The Treasury gives us a level trading field, level playing field. And with your $1,000, you can buy a Treasury bond directly from the Treasury. I think that's cool. Don't you think that's cool? That's one of the reasons I ask you to do it, because it's actually a pretty darn good deal. Most bond traders, though, no. Remember John Merriweather at the beginning of the semester? The liar's poker guy. No, John. I'm not outside of real money. $10 million. Yeah, that's what you're up against. So bond quotes. We're going to see the bond quotes that they show you this, 97.25. Why don't they just tell you the real number? It should be 972.50. It's 97.25 of the face value. But the par value is almost always $1,000. So you just move the decimal one to the right, and that's 972.50. All right? And then we'll take a look at some bond quotes in a bit. And that's it. Okay, so that's our discussion of bonds introduction. Our next chapter is we're going to start about valuations. We're going to take a look at the calculations. But first, let's take a look at a couple of the quotes. Now, these are muni bonds. And we're going to discuss the taxable equivalent yield and yield to maturity in more detail. But look at the price of this bond right here. Remember, move the decimal point one to the right. How much? Can you see that? Eddie, would you turn on the right-hand side down twice? $893.66. So this bond originally sold at $1,000. What has happened? Well, this was the depths of the Great Recession. And so people were scared. They were dumping stocks, dumping bonds, except for treasury bonds. Treasury bonds were going up because people were, it's called flight to quality, they were running to the quality, the safety of the United States government. So they dumped these Capistrano bonds. Now look at what Standard & Poor's rated them at.
Double A.
So they are cool. But still, people are so frightened that they bid down the bonds. $25,000 minimum. They're even insured by a company called MBIA, which insures municipal bonds. They are callable starting in 2015. So until 2015, September 1st, 2015, this entity, the Unified School District of Capistrano, California, cannot call them back in. Now, once we hit that time, the call protection period is over, and the school district of Capistrano can call on the bonds. And they're callable at, remember, move this decimal point over, 1,000. So the Capistrano school district can give you $1,000. If you own a bond, they can give you $1,000, and they take away the bond from you. Are you with me? Understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Is that good?
Sounds like it.
Well, not. It's good for them. If interest rates have fallen to 3%, they can reissue the bond because they're paying 5%. See the coupon rate? Coupon rate is the named rate. We're going to, in the next chapter, we'll take a look at yields and maturity and all that. Look at when they mature. They don't mature until 2029. So you're getting 5% on your bond. If bond interest rates have gone down to 3%, starting in 2015, the Unified School District can pull your bond away from you and then reissue that bond at 3%. Just as a homeowner, if they're paying 7% on a mortgage, would want to run down right now to their mortgage broker and get a mortgage at 3.5%. Are you with me? Same idea. So would you want your bonds to be called away from you? Not if you're the investor, no, it's not usually a good idea. Unless, look at the Poway bonds. They started to be callable. The call protection period ended in 2009. But these are callable at 1,030. So there's a penalty. You see, it's called the premium, the call premium, that Poway has to pay to take them away from you. They can't just give you $10,000. They have to give you $1,030. Are you with me? Understand? Now, look at the Poway bonds. They're paying 5.25%, but what's their price? $650. Investors are frightened of the city of Poway. Why? Because at the time, these mortgage-backed securities that were at the bottom of this thing, that's basically what these things are, they're based on not the mortgages, but the property taxes that people in Poway are paying. And part of the property taxes, most people pay their property taxes in their mortgages. You know, they pay the interest, principal, taxes, and insurance. And if you stop paying your mortgage, what happens to these things? You stop paying your property taxes, where's the money coming from? So investors have dumped these things like crazy. And as we find, the interest rates skyrocket. We'll see the calculations. They're not rated, are they? That's why the Capistrano bonds are selling for $893. The Poway bonds are selling for $650. Make sense? Make sense? Now, let's see what happens to these Poway bombs. Let's follow them through time. Here we are in, that was February of 2009. If we go a year later, in June, here they are. They're, you know, they're going to mature in 2036, paying 5.25%. They're non-rated. What's happened to the price? It was $6.50 in February 2009. What is it now? $832. So investors have said, okay. And it was paying 8.9%. Now they're paying 6.6. Interest rates, bond prices go up, interest rates go down. You understand what happened? So it's been a year later, and people are not as scared as they were. Now, and this is what I'm going to ask you to do for Chapter 9. I'm going to ask you to go do some bond quotes. Let's go to October 2010, and now they've gone up even more. Right? $870. And this one's paying a little bit more. And that one's paying almost $1,000. That's basically $1,000. $999.92. And then, March of 2011, they've jumped down a bit. People are frightened again. They've fallen. And why was that? In the end of 2010, this very famous bond analyst got on 60 Minutes, which is a pretty popular show, and said, all these municipalities across the country are going to go bankrupt. Now, you got to remember, people were still in shock from the 2008-2009. At the end of 2010, she said, Whitney Houston. Meredith Whitney. Whitney Houston, she was a singer. Meredith Whitney is her name. And she said, on 60 Minutes, all these municipalities are going to go under. She was absolutely wrong, but what did people do? Dump the bonds, saying, I'm afraid that I'm going to not get my money back. And so that was March of 2011 in October, the prices have gone back up. Because she was wrong, and people say, I guess she's wrong. Don't you think investors are kind of silly for the most part? And then March of 2012, look, now they're almost at par. Some of them are above par. Some are above 1,000. And where are we now in, what happened? Didn't I put 2013 yet? Look at me. I didn't do 2013 yet. Bad Frank. I thought I was done. Anyway, so you know where they are? They're over here. Oops, that was a mistake. That was a big mistake. They're over on this class. I did them on this class. I'm getting old, folks. I'm getting very old. There they are, March of 2013. And March of 2013, they're around par. So you're going to, what do you think? Thoughts, ideas, comments? Is it making sense? Making sense what's going on? All right, my apologies. I got to fix that. My online students, they don't tell me. They don't say, Frank, you screwed up. I didn't do the presentation yet either. Oosh. Did I really not do the presentation? Anyway, let's take a look at Ford. Have you heard of Ford?
Yeah.
You heard of Ford? Well, this was the depths of the Great Depression. Great Recession. Don't look at Ford County, Kansas. That's not right. But look at these bonds. They're paying 7.5%. 9.98%. Look when this matures. 2097, 2047, 2031. Look at the prices. Remember, move the decimal point to the right. $580. $640. $570. So what are investors saying about Ford? It's going to go under. What's the rating? Now, I am so bummed that I didn't save GM. GM was even worse. 8 point whatever. So $80. They were selling for $80, the bonds. GM was in big trouble. And so because the price has gone down so much, look at what the yield to maturity has done. We're going to do these calculations in the next chapter. I apologize, but the yield has skyrocketed. So did you have the courage to buy Ford? In 2009, when it looked like the whole American car industry was going to go under?
Yeah.
Well, if you did, 6 months later, what's happened? There's still CCC, there's still junk, but what happened to the prices? They went from $550, $580, $600 to $770, $860,
$790, $930. So, yes? Don't you want those moments tomorrow when you said about the Home Depot that you made the mistake of selling it?
Exactly. Yeah, he must, sell now. Well, yeah, that's true. Because we're going to see it's going a lot better. But this is more the moment when the time of maximum pessimism is the best time to buy. When be greedy when others are fearful.
Yeah.
Back in 2009. In the beginning of 2009. Still, people are still frightened. They're still in shock. So let's keep going. And let's hit, that was June of 2010 now. And look, some of them, a few of them are selling at a premium. Look at the yields. And what's happened to the rating? It's inched its way up from CCC to B. Are you with me? So now people are breathing easier, and they're more inclined to believe that Ford's going to be around for a while. And that was now October 10, 2010. And what's happened to all the prices? They're now all selling at a premium, and now we're at BB. We haven't made our way to investment grade yet, but do you see what's happened now? Not or go, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Now. Okay, so let's keep going. Let's skip, what was that? That's, let's skip to March of 2012. There's still all over 1,000, still BB rated. Now let's go to March of 2013, and looky what's happened. Ford has finally made it back to investment grade. So now those bonds that were selling for $550, $580, $600 are selling for $1,265, $1,447, $1,407. The time of maximum pessimism is the time to buy. But it's also very scary because you could lose all your money. Thoughts, ideas, comments, criticisms?
Okay. All right, okay.
So, in your assignment, you're going to...
buy bonds.
No, you're not going to buy. You can buy them if you want. I'm not going to get you to buy them. But I want you to do some research. The problem with bonds is that the places that you go look for them are not as reliable as the stock data. At least that's been my experience. If you go to Yahoo Bonds, you just type in the name, but you don't often get what you ask for. So if we type Ford, boom, hello, go away. And so here, this is, you got Ford. But what if you try to find Southwestern College Bonds? Southwestern... And type search, like, I don't know, Southwestern, I think this might be it, right? These might be, I'm not sure, but Southwestern Illinois, Southwestern Community College, maybe that's the Southwestern Public Service. And so the on the website is a link to, go back to business 123, chapter, where am I? I'm getting old. Here it is. The bond quote on Yahoo is not that great. But this guy right here is awesome. That's FINRA. And FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. I don't think they do it. They have somebody do it for them. But this thing is much more powerful. And because you can differentiate between treasury, corporate, muni bonds. So we want muni bonds. And then we tell it which state we want. And then we tell it we want Southwestern. Whoops, I can spell Southwestern. And show results. And sure enough, that's us. That's Southwestern Community College. So this is a better system to look for your bonds. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do for Chapter 9. Thoughts, ideas, comments? Are bonds boring? Yeah. Now, if you had bought the Ford bonds in 2009, you did pretty darn well, right? What if you had bought the Ford stock? Right? Not Forward Industries, Ford. And we go to 5 year. Let's go to the 5 year. And this is when I was kicking myself in 2008 and 2009. Well, 2009, Ford stock went down below $2. It was like $1.50 for a while there. That's not a very good one. Let's do max. Let's do the basic chart. Max. Look at that. Look at that. It's like $1.50. I guess I'll buy it. Buy it. Who knows? It might go under. Buy it. Buy it. No, I think I'll buy some real estate. I'll buy it. And look, this was the height of the gas, you know, the craziness where people were driving around in their living rooms. What is it called? The Ford Extinction?
Right.
I'm not sure. Yeah, Ford Extinction. And then there was the 2002 to 2003 downturn. They came back, and the Great Recession killed them. And they thought they were going to be gone. And they almost did. GM, it did go. The new GM is not the same company. So people who own that stock lost everything. But if you bought Ford stock, if you bought the Ford bond, they've doubled in price. Maybe more than doubled in price. You bought the Ford stock, 10 times, 12 times what you bought. Thoughts, ideas? All right, want to turn the lights back on? Because you don't know, you're never going to let, I'm not going to let you go early, right? What a perish the thought. Because at the very least, I'm going to get to pass out these guys. So, our next section, we've discussed bonds in terms of understanding what they are. Our next section, as we did with stocks, is going to discuss how do we value them? How do we put a price and a value on them? And it turns out, folks, that bonds indeed are very boring. Stocks, is it easy to make a value or call on a stock? No, it's very difficult. Is it easy to make a value call on a bond? Yes, it's very easy. However, there is one major unknown when it comes to bonds, and that's what's going to happen to interest rates. If you... Did I pass it out already?
Yeah.
Is that the same one I passed out? The bond prices and yield? Chapter 10?
Yeah.
I gave you the wrong one? Okay. Oops. I gave you the wrong one. Told you I'm getting old. What? You need one more back there? So it turns out... Anna's got you one. Anna's got one for you. It turns out that bond... Okay. Bond valuation techniques are very straightforward. Very simple. And it makes sense. Because bond...
What is that?
It's not... R2-D2, someone said? Okay. It turns out that bond calculations are very straightforward. Very simple. And why? Because bonds are fixed. We know how much we're going to get. Assuming that it doesn't go under. Assuming that not Ford disappears or GM disappears. We know how much we're going to get. Bond yield, what we're getting from our bond, is one of the most important factors in bond valuation. What income is the bond paying? Because over the long sweep of time, income is what you receive from investing in bonds. Although there are sometimes opportunities for capital gains and sometimes risks of capital losses, if interest rates go down, what happens to bond prices? Everyone just said they go up. Wait a minute until I ask you. Interest rates go down, what happened to bond prices? Well, if interest rates go up, what happens to bond prices? Where are interest rates now? They're about as low as they can get. Once they get to zero, they can't go any lower. But they're pretty close to zero. So where do you think bond prices are going to go over the next 5 to 10 years?
Down.
I think interest rates are going to go up, bond prices are going to go down. But doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean it right. There have been long periods of time in our history when bond yields have been very low, like they are now, so who knows? Given that most all bonds repay their principal without interest, without incident, you get your money back. The calculations, the valuation calculations using bond yields tend to be very predictable. And so, the unpredictable factor in bond valuation is the future direction of interest rates. And this is why people, you know, with the players, they're called, the blue suits and the... these people are paid tremendous sums of money to incorrectly predict where bond prices are going to go. Don't you want that job? You just have to look the part. It's like chapter 8, technical analysis. You have to sound like you know what you're talking about and convince people you know what you're talking about and be able to explain why you were wrong and explain that you will be right this next time. You know, and you actually were right. You were just not right yet. So you have to be able, and then you'll get $500,000 a year and get bonuses every year, and won't you be happy? It's an awesome job. Yeah, exactly. However, for the many people who hold on to their bonds until maturity, until you get your principal back, the direction of interest rates is not important to you. You are mostly interested in the income and are not generally affected by the direction of interest rates, since you have no intentions of ever selling your bonds before they mature. You are only concerned about changing interest rates if you're trying to sell them or, unfortunately, are forced to sell them before they mature. And when we come back, we will discuss the nominal yield, the coupon yield, the current yield, the yield to maturity, and then the yield to the call, just another copy of the yield to maturity, taxable equivalent and double tax-free equivalent yield for muni bonds. So we'll learn how to do the calculations. Now, if I pass out the rest of these things, will you bring them back? I forgot the bond. They finally gave me a hole punch. I ordered one 2 months ago. I got it. I got my hole punch. So some of you were, or he's not here today, but he was complaining. I need a hole punch. So if you want a hole punch, if you want to punch your guys, come with me in my office. Now, would you mind passing these guys out? So you promise, if I give you all these out, to you, bring them on Tuesday, right? All right, and then I'll let you go. Okay, so pass these puppies out. So here is the formulas. Bring this on Tuesday, because we're going to do the calculations on Tuesday. So bring, did you get one of the original things? I don't think so. Okay. So bring these on Tuesday, and remember everything except for the. Okay.
I can promise you it's not a guarantee.
Promise me, yes. It's not a guarantee, but a full faith and credit.
Yes.
There's three pages you're going to be passing out. Three pages. There's the valuation formulas. That's what I passed out. And Jessica is passing out the assignment. Okay, you should get... Okay, excellent. These guys go right here. And then there's the worksheet. There's three pages. Okay, and then beginning of chapter 9 and 10 for here. All right, so are you excited about bonds? You are? Oh, good. Okay, you should have, for chapter 10, there's four pages. The first one is the one I passed out at the beginning of class. Then you'll have an assignment sheet, a formula sheet, and a worksheet. There will be four pages all total for chapter 10. Four. What'd you do with yours? What'd you do with the one I gave you?
What do you mean?
I gave you a package. What did you do with them? What did you do with them? One of the ones I gave you. The ones I gave you a bunch.
Oh,
where are they? There they are. Okay. So this side of the room got them. This side of the room didn't get them. All right, so you should have a worksheet. I should not have given it. I should just do it myself. You'll notice I'm not a very good paper hander-outer. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm not good at it. I've never been good at it. So you'll have four sheets for chapter... I'm going to give you four sheets for chapter 10. No, four. You should have four for chapter 10. The one I gave you at the beginning of the hour, and then the three we just did now. All right? Yes. What? All right, we'll find which ones you need. Just her. All right, if you didn't get four sheets for chapter 10, stick around, and I'll make sure you get them. And bring them on Tuesday. Thursday. So study hard, bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College. Everything's on the website, so you can actually get ahead. Yes. Oh, okay. Who snuck in late? Not one.